At this point of the Bible, we're going back before Easter here to a time where Jesus was about to be going to the cross. Please silence your phones if you don't mind. Appreciate it. He was going to meet this moment in time that he was purposed for on that day. He was going to be going to the cross to die for our sins. He met with his disciples right before this passage. He met with his disciples and he celebrated his last meal with them and told them to remember him. Right? They had to have been very distressed and even panic-stricken, knowing that something was going to happen to their Lord and Savior, the one that they had put all their hopes on. Right? Jesus told them that one of them was going to betray him. Right? This is all right before this moment. And he was troubled in his own spirit, it says in God's word. He was troubled because he had to share with them that someone was going to turn him in and he would be killed. Peter stood up and said, not I, Lord. I'll never betray you. I'll never do that. And so the Lord Jesus told Peter that you will deny me three times. And so all of these things are coming together for the disciples, and they're listening to Jesus. I'm going away and you can't come with me where I'm going. Remember him saying those things, right? He was telling them all these things. And these are people that were very tight with Jesus and they were saying, what do you mean? You can't leave us. What are you talking about? You can't do this. And they were trying to think of different ways to help that not to happen. And Jesus said, no, this has to happen. Right? You remember me and remember all these things. And this has to happen in this kind of way. The last thing Peter said right before this scripture we heard today was, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. So the disciples were filled with troubled hearts. They were filled with troubled hearts. A troubled heart is one that is filled with anxiety and fear. And even a panicked kind of a feel. There's trouble in our hearts. And so what does Jesus say to them? Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus, the one whose heart was troubled himself in great compassion and love for his disciples, whom he dearly loved, told them, let not your hearts be troubled. And brothers and sisters, this word is for each of you today, including myself. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let not your hearts be troubled. Are you troubled today about sickness? Are you troubled today because you're worried for someone? Are you troubled about something in your life that is causing you to come to this place where you're not yourself, you go about your life, you do the things that you do, you carry on, you may even do things with great energy, and God has given you that kind of a life because you know him and things like that, but still in your heart, you have trouble in there. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. And then what does he say next? Believe in God. Believe also in me. That is the means by which we find a solution for a troubled heart. He is the solution for a troubled heart. Let me read you something today. There was a British preacher named J.H. Jowett, and he believed that inner peace comes not from tranquil or peaceful circumstances, but from an untroubled heart. Amen? It comes not from having everything all going smoothly in our lives. That is not inner peace. That is not how inner peace is achieved. It is achieved from an untroubled heart. We were singing a song about chaos, you know, and how Jesus came into this chaos and helped us in these troubled times. But he wrote, the heart is to be clothed in serene regality, even when hell is knocking and rioting at its very gates. In all the midst of the things that you're going through, the heart is to be clothed in an untroubledness. And it's found in Jesus himself. He is the one that provides that. It's not by hunkering down, being strong in our own strength, trying to fight through things like that. You find the source for your troubled heart in Jesus. He is the one who will help you in that moment. He is the one who comes into your heart. If your heart is not open to Jesus today, open it now. Open the door to your heart and let Jesus come in, and you will see what it means to have an untroubled heart. If you know Jesus as your Savior and you're living now in a troubled way, that you're experiencing this and you're troubled each day, your life and your body is filled with this sensation of trouble, God is speaking to you today to say, believe in me. Believe in me. And I will take that trouble out of your heart. I will set you free from it. We focus a lot of times on the trouble in the world. We focus on trouble. It's barraging us all the time. Trouble and trouble and more trouble. The media sells it because they know that they'll make money off it. People have this kind of a weird way about them that they want to turn on something that is bad news, that is troubling and things like that. You see, we're so attuned to it and we're so used to just accepting that kind of an idea in our lives. Like, I don't want to be troubled, but let me turn this TV on and turn on the news so I can hear about all the trouble. And if they have something that's not about that, then we turn the channel to something else. We turn to a detective story where there's a murder. We turn to other things that lead us to see people living sexual immorality out right on the television in front of us. We go there. That's trouble. Right? And Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. It is a command not to be troubled in your heart. So let us stop filling ourselves with trouble and looking for trouble. Do not look for trouble. Run from trouble and run to Jesus. We're not talking about evading issues in the world here. We're talking about your life. We're talking about your heart. Who does your heart belong to? The prince of this world, who desires to bring you to destruction, or the loving God who gave his son for your sake and mine to save us from sin, to save us from evil, to bring us to a place called heaven? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a saying here that I found. It's very, very useful. It's by someone named Fitzhugh. A troubled heart, a wearied mind, are burdens hard to bear. A lack of peace, a heavy load, are lifted by God's care. A lack of peace, a heavy load, are lifted by God's care. Brothers and sisters, if your heart is weary today, give it to God. And let him take care of you. Let him take care of you. Believe in him. And that is what Jesus is talking about. And then we come to one of the most amazing scriptures in the Bible. We are invited into something that you will not find anywhere else. It is a view of heaven. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. The disciples were panic-stricken because Jesus was telling them, I'm leaving you. You cannot go where I go. He promised them that he would bless them, and they were to remember him, and that he needed to do these things. They couldn't go with him to the cross. Part of it was his saying that, you can't go with me, I need to do this, you can't come with me there. But the greater picture that he's giving to them is one of heaven. He's saying, I go to prepare a place for you so that one day I will come again and I will take you with me and we will be together forever. Now, do you understand why he said, believe in me? He doesn't just say, believe in me, and then go his way. He gives them heaven. He gives them the future of hope. And he gives him himself. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, where I am, you may be also. But first, he went to the cross. The greatest thing ever done for anyone in the world. It's another thing that we need to talk about, brothers and sisters. We need to tell people what Jesus has done for us. We need to let them know that there is a God who sent his Son into the world to die for us, so that our sins would be forgiven and so that we would be resurrected with his resurrection body and go to heaven. One of the simplest things for people to ask is, what happens when you die? What am I going to do when I die? And most people will say, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. Do you agree? Do you agree that most people don't want to hear about it? They don't want to hear about death. They don't want to hear about what's going to happen after death. Think about it. What would you say happens to you after you die? Jesus is giving us the answer right here. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you go with him into heaven to a place that is prepared for you. And you're with a Savior who is a shepherd and a loving God, one who poured out himself for mankind so that mankind would not be separated from heaven, would not be separated from the presence of God, but that they would inherit eternal life. That is heaven. That is our destiny. That is where we are going. Do you understand the greatness of God today in those words? You will find it nowhere else. We have this picture of heaven that is given to us today. He goes on to say, and you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, there's two instances, two of the disciples are mentioned here. The first one is Thomas. And we know that Thomas is someone who likes to ask questions and also someone who is known for doubting, right? Later on, when Jesus came back from the dead, he said, I want to see proof in his body that it's Jesus returned from the dead. Well, here he is earlier in this story, and he says to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus is very open about the answer. He gives this verse that we know and that we need to have in our hearts. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. Again, Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way to reach where I'm going. I am the way. I am the truth. In a world where there is lying and untruth everywhere, right? Untruth and lying, distrustfulness, dishonesty, those are the things that categorize our world that we live in. And Jesus says, I am the truth. You can trust me. Right? I am the Son of God, come down from heaven to live here in this evil place and to endure great pain for your sake. You can trust me. I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. And he's going to show that by coming back from the dead. He proves it to them that in his resurrection, that he is not only alive there with them then, but he is the eternal life. And that is what he gives to us. Eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Thomas. I am the way to the place that I'm going, and you can go there through me. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And here, Jesus is saying something that is remarkable too, that he and the Father are one. When we talk about God, we're talking about God as one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. They are one. Right? And he's saying to them, you know the Father because you see me now. I am with you, and the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Right? He says these things to these disciples. Philip is the next one. He says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Believe me when I tell you the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe me when I tell you something, because I am the truth. There isn't any untruth in me. It doesn't exist for me. Truth is what I am. Or else, at least believe on the count of the miracles that I have performed around you. Believe in that, at least. And make the connection that the Father in heaven has sent me here to be with you. And he is in me, and I am in the Father. And I am living according to his will, and all the things that I do here are according to the will of the Father. It's a lot to take in this morning, isn't it? But this is exactly where we need to be. We need to be exactly where the disciples are when he's telling them these things. We are now his disciples listening to the words of Jesus ministering to us. And so the question is, do we believe that in Jesus Christ the Father is found? The answer is yes. Do we believe that in the Father Jesus Christ is found? The answer is yes. We believe. That is what Jesus is teaching us today. Let not your hearts be troubled. Listen to what I'm telling you. God the Father is in me, and I'm standing there now with you, and they have seen the Father, the creator of all mankind, The one who sent his son into the world, they're seeing him now before them. They're standing in the presence of holy God. And listen to the way Jesus is talking to them. He's reasoning with them. He's telling them these things. He's teaching them. He's preparing them. So that they will know the truth and it will set them free. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so he's telling them now what is going to be happening when he leaves them, right? That he believes in the works that the people there believe in the works that Jesus do, but they are going to be greater than those that he did, because he is going to the Father. That means that there is going to be such a powerful movement among people, because Jesus Christ not only is killed for the sake of mankind and died for their sins, but he rose again. And in that resurrection power, there is going to be a greater power at work in mankind to bring them to salvation. It is not in us. It is not in the disciples. Never say that God has given us more power so that we can take the credit for it. It is only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we are empowered with this powerful message of the gospel that tells people that there is hope for their future, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That is the reason for our hope. He is the reason for our hope. And he is the reason that we have hope even in times of trouble. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Let it not be so. God is drawing us into himself. Here today, he's drawing us deeper into himself. He's working among us through his Holy Spirit to remove any sense of doubt, remove any kind of feelings that there isn't any hope, to remove any kind of feelings that we carry around with us now that have anything to do with trouble. And then we're getting closer to understanding who God is and the power that he possesses to transform human life into life in Christ Jesus. Where do you stand today in your belief? God is asking you, where do you stand with me? Where do you stand in your belief? I'm going to take you deeper. I'm going to take you deeper. All you need to do is give me your entire life. All you have to do is give me all of your heart. Don't resist the Holy Spirit talking to you today. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Give your life to Christ. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. You can ask anything of God, and that he will do. How many people here today, brothers and sisters, have been holding on to the pain, to the trouble, and saying in your heart, I do not believe that God can save my loved one. I do not believe that God can save my loved one. I do not believe in the power of the resurrection, because I am holding on to trouble in my heart. And I choose that over belief that Almighty God, who rose from the dead to give us eternal life, is not capable of bringing glory into that situation. Confess it now to God. Confess it to God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't believe. Help me in my unbelief. Take away the troubled heart. Refill it, Lord, with yourself. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit that was at work in Jesus to bring him from the grave and to raise him up, to appear to his disciples and tell them, I am coming again and you will be with me forever. That's where we have to be. That's what belief in Jesus Christ is. It's a full heart of Christ. It's a full heart of the Father. It's a full heart that is filled with the Holy Spirit and belief that they possess everything that we need in life. And don't be fooled by sickness. Don't be fooled by all of these other things that happen. Don't be fooled by the things that are going on in this world around us. Jesus was here and he lived it, but he overcame it. And how? By obeying the Father's will. By going to that cross for you and me. By being risen from the grave. By going to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God and reigning from there. And he is in power now. And he will come again in power. And he will bring those who believe in him to everlasting life in heaven. Don't live with an earthly mindset anymore. We are not permanent residents here. And the things of this world will pass away. But the word of the Lord is eternal. That is the word that God wants to give you today. What is troubling your heart today? Give it to God. Believe in him. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to take a pause here, and I want anyone who wants to come forward and to pray to God, to ask him anything in his name, to come forward here and take a seat at the pew, or you can kneel down here, and I want you to just confess to God whatever it is that you have in your heart. If you want to receive Christ, you can come forward and you can give your life to Christ right here, but just come at this time. Let's all close our eyes and give people a chance to pray and to let the Holy Spirit work and come forward, and you can bend down on your knees, you can sit on the pew, you can do whatever you want, but just come at this time. Don't delay. Just come and let God speak to you. And we're going to let you pray to him and talk to him about the things that you have on your mind and the things that are in your heart. If there's anybody here who has not received Jesus Christ into their heart, please take this moment and do so. It will be the best thing that you ever done in your life. And don't be afraid. Do not be troubled about it. Do not be troubled in your heart. Whatever it is you're worried about that is keeping you from Jesus, let go of it and come forward and be saved. Let us sing a song of response this time.